Amen. Praise the Lord for that special this morning as well. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you look with me to the book of Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah, and chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, we're going to be reading verse 1 down to verse 14. If you would at this time, go ahead and stand with me for the reading of the Word of God. As I read, you can follow right along with me. I'm going to read verse 1, then drop down to verse 4. The Bible says, "Now these are the words of the letter that Jeremiah the prophet sent from Jerusalem unto the residue of the elders, which were carried away captives, and to the priests, and to the prophets, and to all the people whom Nebuchadnezzar had carried away captive from Jerusalem to Babylon." Now drop down to verse 4. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon. Build ye houses and dwell in them, and plant gardens and eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives, and beget sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons, and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there, and not diminished. And seek the peace of the city, whether I have cause you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. For in the peace thereof shall ye have peace. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. For they prophesy falsely unto you in my name. I have not sent them, saith the Lord. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive." And let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before you once again, we thank you, God, for what we've already experienced and just being in this place this morning. But as we are needy people, we need to receive from you that which you have for us from your word. And I pray this morning, God, that you would help us, each and every one, to be open and minded and ready to receive and apply what that message would be. Pray that you would empower me once again and use me as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. Now, if you know much about the prophet Jeremiah, you know that early on the prophet had been warning God's people to turn back to God. For they had turned away from God. They were serving false gods, doing things that God would not have them to do. And Jeremiah had been preaching that God's judgment was going to come down upon them. if they were to prevent God's judgment and ultimately this Babylonian captivity, they would need to hearken to the words of God and turn back to Him, confess their sins, repent, turn back to God. They didn't do that. And so as God had revealed to them through the prophet Jeremiah, He allowed Babylon to come in and destroy the land and the people and take captive those that God would allow to remain alive, to take them back to Babylon for Babylonian captivity. In Jeremiah chapter 29, what we just read is God's message to those still alive but living in captivity. Many would have perished because of the battles. Many would have died and been abused, and all sorts of things would have taken place. But God allowed those that are alive to live through that. So the message was to those who were still alive, no longer in Jerusalem, but living in captivity. Now the key verse to this is found in verse 11. When God says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. Thoughts of peace, not of evil. God does not have any evil thoughts toward His people, no matter what His people will do. God always works with our best in mind. No matter what happens, and no matter how hard that might seem to be at times, God is working with our best interests in mind. Maybe not in this life, but in eternity, and what will impact eternity. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you and I've got this underlined in my Bible, and I would encourage you to do so as well, an expected end. An expected end. See, for God's people, Israel, it would only be for a season that they would be in captivity. God had a purpose and a plan for them in captivity. And His expected end would to return them to Jerusalem, where they would once again receive the blessings of God. God has an expected end to whatever He allows. God is Almighty God. He controls all things. He has to allow certain things because of man's free will. But whatever God would allow or whatever God would cause to happen and bring into the lives of His children, He has an expected end in mind. As I was preparing this, and I knew this is where God would have me to be this morning and presenting this message, only God knew who would be here this morning, who would be listening to it on the live stream as well. But I got thinking, what is life going to look like in our future? Sometimes raising children, we wonder, what will our children have to face in life? My generation is coming toward the end of our life, no doubt, but we have children and we have grandchildren, and if the Lord tarries His return, then we're going to have great-great-grandchildren and going to continue. But what will they experience? There's going to continue to be issues in America, as well as the rest of the world, concerning religious rights. What, now we know, because God has revealed to us, what will ultimately take place after the rapture of the church, but just what will the church have to endure before the rapture? And we really don't know that. We know that times will continue to get worse and worse concerning Christianity, concerning Christ-likeness and the thinking of Christ. It will not get better. It will get worse. There's going to be the issues of religious rights. There's going to be the issues of government. Ultimately, based on the prophecies of the Word of God, there's going to be a one world government, and it will be an Antichrist government. What will we see in our life? What will our children have to endure in their lives? There's going to be issues of race. Wow, a major issue today. Gender identity. Who would have ever thought we would live in a day that we're living in with that issue and have to address the things that are being addressed today? Morality. Where's that going to go? Can it get worse? Yes, it can get worse. Maybe even deadly viruses. I think the world now and our enemies have seen what a virus can do to not only America, but to the world. Will that be a norm? In battling evil enemies around the world and dictatorships and everything else, will that be something that is going to be unleashed upon the population of the world? This might only be the beginning, what we've experienced over the last year or so. All these being types of captivity. As we understand this and we know what God is revealing here, we need to learn from Jeremiah's message to those who are still alive but living in captivity. Still alive. God has you here for a purpose. God has allowed you to live in the day and age that we're living in. Even though we might be living in captivity. I think the first thing that we learn here is, and God reveals through Jeremiah to the people that he's writing this letter to, and he wants them to understand this, that God caused their captivity to happen. In verse 4, the Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, unto all that are carried away captives, whom I have caused to be carried away from Jerusalem unto Babylon." Yeah, God brought this upon them. Now, it was brought on them because of their rebellion. It was brought upon them because of their sins. God did not want to have to bring Babylon and use Babylon to defeat his children Israel and take them into captivity. That was not God's first will for their lives. God's will for their lives would have been that they would continue to listen to Jeremiah, repent and turn to God and live with the blessings of God in Jerusalem without ever having to go into captivity. But sin changes things. The sin of humanity changes societies. And when you rebel against an almighty creator God, there is going to be the judgment that God has pronounced upon that rebellion. Especially when it comes to those who know God to be real, who have trusted in Jesus to be their personal Lord and Savior. You cannot live in rebellion. You cannot live a life of sin and not expect for God to bring down judgment into our lives. America is more accountable than any other nation on planet Earth. He brought this into their lives, but he had an expected end. And his expected end was not of evil. It was looking forward for blessings. For verse 10, he says, "For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished," this was what was going to take place, "at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and causing you to return to this place." He's also, not only did he cause them to be carried away into Babylon, but he is going to work in their lives to cause them to return to Jerusalem. "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you," even though you don't see it and you don't understand it right now because you're hurting, because you've experienced the loss of everything, and you've lost your land, and you've been carried, you've been defeated by Babylon, and now you've been carried into captivity. You don't see it right now, but this is a letter from God through Jeremiah to encourage them to understand that even though they don't see it, there is an expected end. Amen. Only God knows what the future holds. And my thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Yes, God brought judgment, but in the midst of the judgment, He has purpose or an expected end. Now we have the history, the reality and the facts of history to look back on to know what Jeremiah was saying and how God fulfilled this letter. It would last 70 years. In that 70 years, they had an expected end. It lasted 70 years, the time needed to raise a new generation. 70 years for the old generation to die off and for that generation to still have purpose in raising a new generation that would return to Jerusalem. Verse 12 through verse 14, it reveals what's going to happen here. Verse 12 says, then, stay with me here because we're going to make some applications here. But verse 12, then shall you call upon me and shall go and pray unto me and I will hearken unto you. This is the expected end. Whether you see it or not, this is what I am doing in your life. This is where you're going to be in 70 years. And ye shall seek me and find me, and when ye shall search for me with all your heart. What's happening here, the expected end, is to get you back to where I wanted you to be to start with. And I'm going to be your God. And you're going to be my people. And you're going to have my blessings. And you're going to have a new Jerusalem. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. I will turn away your captivity. And I will gather you from all the nations, from all the places whither I will have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again unto the place whence I caused you to be carried away from, the land of promise. Now we see this also in future prophecy. After 70 years, there would be a return to establish a new Jerusalem. Under Zerubbabel, after the 70 years, under Zerubbabel, God opened the door for them to him to lead a remnant back to Jerusalem. And they laid the foundation and then built the temple, a new temple. And right after that, then he would work through Nehemiah. And Nehemiah would go back and Nehemiah would be used of God to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Now we have, 70 years later, we have Israel going back into Jerusalem. They have a newly rebuilt walls of security, and they have a new temple, and they have a new Jerusalem wherewith they could once again serve and worship their God. That was God's expected end. Can I tell you that God has an expected end for all humanity today? Look with me, if you will, to Romans in chapter 8. Romans in chapter 8. Now, most of us understand verse 28, and we go here often. It says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. God is very much working in our lives with an expected end. And that expected end would be this: for whom he did foreknow, he did also predestinate to be conformed. God works in our lives to conform us to the image of his Son. That's God's expected end for every individual, for all humanity today. To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. God has an expected end. He will work through blessings and, yes, judgments for all to be saved, who will be saved and receive everlasting eternal life. Now, I would rather receive Christ by looking for the blessings of God. In the United States of America, when we see how God has worked in our future to give us this great nation, and people would acknowledge God as the reason that we have the great nation that we have, and they would acknowledge the Bible, and they would acknowledge Jesus Christ, and they would come to Christ because of the blessings of God. Can I tell you, that's how we ought to come to God, by looking to the blessings that God has bestowed upon humanity. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And when somebody acknowledges the blessings of God loving them and sending their Son to die for them, and they willingly receive him, that is an expected end concerning the blessings of God. God wants to bless you, and he wants to work through the blessings to get you to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. But if you will not be conformed to the image of his dear Son through the blessings of God, God will bring judgment down upon us, and God will work through judgment to accomplish the very same things. Israel was given the promised land and they acknowledged God, but then they turned from God and God brought the judgment so that through the judgment now they would turn back to God and God would take them back to that promised land. Don't reject the blessings of God and acknowledging God and the blessings, because when you reject God and the blessings, then you'll have the judgment of God, because God is working through blessings or judgment to get us to be conformed to the image of his dear Son. Yeah. Wow. While we're in captivity, God has instructions for us, for all that are still alive, but living in captivity. I don't know what your circumstances and situations are today. You might be living in captivity because of the judgments of God. You might be living in a captivity because of your choices. Or possibly God is working something even beyond what you even understand. But you find yourself living in captivity. But you're still alive. You're still alive. And so Jeremiah is addressing those. He's not addressing those that are dead. He didn't address those that died during the Babylonian invasion. Nothing else they can do. Their life's over. But he addresses those that are still alive. You still have life. Might not be the way that you want to live right now. You might not be in the situation that you want to be in right now, but you still are alive. And God has good thoughts toward you. And he has an expected end for your life. Wow, I trust you're getting this. Build ye houses. Wait a minute, I'm in captivity. I was taken from my home in Jerusalem. I'm in a place of captivity in a foreign land with people that I can't even understand their language. But you're still alive. Build houses. Dwell in them. Plant gardens. Does the dirt here grow the same things as the dirt back in Jerusalem? We know how to farm in Jerusalem, but I don't know that I know how to farm. Plant gardens. Figure it out. Figure it out. And eat the fruit of it. I don't know about you. That's some of the best time of the year when you're eating the fruit of your garden. I don't see any gardens growing right now. But spring's coming. If you plant it, take care of it, you're going to enjoy the fruit. Take you wives. My wife was killed in Jerusalem. My husband was killed in Jerusalem under the besiege of the Babylonians. And now you expect me to just forget about all that? And you're in captivity. But God has good thoughts towards you. God knows what you're going through. God understands what you're going through. There's blessings even in captivity. You're still alive. You have opportunities because you have life. Don't give up and die. Don't quit living. Some people have quit living because of a virus. I understand the fears and I understand certain things and I understand health issues. But don't stop living. You don't let the devil keep you from accomplishing anything else for the rest of your life because of whatever. Don't give up. Do not give up in captivity, whatever that captivity might be. God did not keep you alive for you to give up. He's got an expected end. No matter what you're facing right now, no matter what it is that you see or you don't see, see this. God has an expected end for whatever it is that you're living through right now. Don't give up. See, life only stops with physical death. Life here. And this life is what it's all about and leading into eternity. What we accomplish in this life will determine our blessings in eternity, our rewards, our crowns in eternity. While you still have life here, live for God. No matter what. No matter what you're facing. No matter what you're feeling. You're still alive. Even though you're living in captivity. Follow God's instructions. For living in captivity. I love that. Because God wants you to raise the next generation. Because God has a purpose for the next generation and the generation following that, leading up to the rapture. I think it's important for us to understand one of the most important things for us to accomplish right now is raise the next generation of born-again believers. I know what we're facing now. I would not have thought we'd have to face some of the things we're facing now in my lifetime, but we are facing them in our lifetime. Our lifetime's coming to the end. The next generation, what will they have to endure? What will they have to face? They're going to be living in some type of a captivity. Raise them to accomplish what God has for them to accomplish in their generation. Most important thing you can do for your child is prepare them for what they'll face in life. And only God knows what they'll face. And only God can help get them through it. And He will, because He has an expected end for their lives. Make the most out of your captivity. Turn your tragedy into triumph. They lost everything. They were carried off to Babylon, but their lives were not over. And God said, build ye houses, dwell in them. Plant gardens, eat the fruit of them. Take ye wives and begat sons and daughters, and take wives for your sons and give your daughters to husbands, that they may bear sons and daughters, that ye may be increased there and not diminished. You can thrive in captivity as long as you're looking to God, because God has a future plan for captivity. God has an end result. God has things that he wants you to accomplish, and he has an end understanding of the end of your life and what he has for you to do and the blessings that you can accomplish and you can receive while you're going through whatever that captivity might be. There is an expected end. Brother Jim Bingham. Brother Jim, longtime church member. Him and Irene would sit back here in this back, faithful as they could be. Jim was one of the best soul winners I think I've ever met. He actually was trying to win Irene, who's already saved, to the Lord when God brought them two together at the end of their lives. Jim went home to be with the Lord this last week. I didn't think he'd ever die. Yeah. Jim's son, Rick, was a member of this church several years ago. He was in church with his wife, Kay. I was at the back shaking hands, as I always do. He came through and he said, preacher, I preach a message on being a witness. He said, you know, I've not been witnessing. I need to do a better job of witnessing for the Lord. He and Kay walked out the door. Rick had just had back surgery. His back was hurting him quite a bit, and so he took double the pain meds that he was supposed to take. He went home, and under the influence, he had a stepson that was there in the house living with him, an older stepson, and somehow they got into an altercation. And Rick went, pulled out his gun. He pointed his gun to shoot his stepson. His wife jumped in front of her son, and Jim Bingham shot and killed his wife, Kay. Jim called me while he was still there, and I went over there, and Rick was out of his mind. He was under the influence, no doubt. For even after shooting his wife and killing her, he told me, he said, I don't know where they're taking me, but tell my wife where I'll be and let her know that I'll see her soon. Then he realized what he'd done. Rick was sentenced to life in prison. Captivity. Prison became his mission field. I've kept in contact with Rick. This is his recent letter. Dear Pastor Ted, I just wanted to let you know that I was thinking about you and your family and the church family. I'm praying for you all. And to remind you of what a blessing your messages are on TV on Sunday mornings. And to let you know the Lord is working through them in here. Jim has won many of inmates to the Lord. Every Sunday, he gets them all together. And he turns on Lighthouse Baptist Church, a TV ministry. Afterwards, he has a Bible study with them. He's impacted more lives than what I can imagine. He says the message today, I think, was from a couple weeks ago about training your mind, and I had never really heard a message like that one. And after the sermon, I got my Strong's Concordance and started making a list of verses on the mind, and I will be adding that to my daily devotions. I really needed that. Thank you, Pastor. Sent from Pendleton Correction Facility. When that happened, it's tragic. Brother Jim had a hard time with his son being sentenced to life in prison. Once he saw that his son didn't stop living, but his son in captivity would serve God, it made all the difference to Jim. And Rick, when you watch this message, know this, that your dad was proud of you and what you were accomplishing in captivity. He didn't die. Didn't give up and quit living. God kept him alive because God had an expected end. God has an expected end for all of us. Whatever it is that we might have to face, don't quit living. Don't quit serving. Look to God and accomplish what God has for you to accomplish. If I could have every head bowed this morning. We need to look to God all the time. But especially when living in captivity. I don't know what your captivity might be, but God knows. And God has an expected end. Look to Him. Look to Him. Father, we bow before you this morning. I thank you for this message that you sent through Jeremiah to those who are still alive, yet living in Babylonian captivity. And what a blessing it is to know that you had an expected end for them, and you have an expected end for whatever we are going through as well. I pray, God, that we would turn to you to dedicate our lives to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Bless now this invitation, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.